Well, good evening and Merry Christmas. You're listening to Know Your States, Know Your Community on KRFY. This is 88.5 Panhandle Community Radio. And Know Your States, Know Your Community is a weekly show where we talk to one representative from each of the 50 states. We spend about a half hour with each state. We talk to two people per night. And I would say, appropriately enough, we're starting out tonight, if you have a glass of eggnog in front of you, you might like to be listening to this program about the Nutmeg State, also known as the Constitution State, our 29th most populous state, home to more than 3.5 million people. It's the fifth state, one of the original 13, which joined the Union on January 9th, 1788. Joy Oricchio, you are our representative of the state of Connecticut.
Oricchio.
Oricchio. Oricchio. Joy Oricchio. I apologize.
No worries.
And I would not know how to say, are you a Connecticutan? What is the denonym of
a, you know, you got me stumped right there. Okay. You know, I'm a Connecticutite, maybe, perhaps. Oh, wow. I don't know.
That's polysyllabic. I mean, that's a tongue twister.
Okay, where within the rather small state of Connecticut, where are you from?
You know, I'm from a town called Berlin, Connecticut, and it is actually the center of the state. It's the heart of Connecticut.
Okay.
B-U-R-L-E-N?
B-E-R-L-I-N. Oh, B-E-R. Berlin.
Okay, and what's the geography around? Well, you know, I mean, looking at the state, you know, and it's teeny-weeny.
Yeah, it gets lost in that big group of New England.
It does.
Right, doesn't it? I know. So, Woody Allen said, you know, if you can insult people from Connecticut real easy by yelling at them. So it kind of gets lost maybe in that group. I don't know.
So... I was going to ask you about geography, but what is the self-identity of a person from Connecticut? I mean, you said Woody Allen can yell at you and you could hear them. I mean, we're small. Okay.
We're old.
Old.
We're very old. We're one of the first. We got a lot of cannons.
Okay.
We have cannonballs. Okay. We have a lot of parks. A lot of historical areas. It's really very beautiful.
What's the geography when you talk about beautiful?
It's on the Appalachians.
Okay.
So you get these rolling hills.
Okay.
And it's close to the ocean, protected by the sound there, but you can get to the ocean real easy. And agriculture, a lot of apple orchards, fruit orchards where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Northern, there's a tobacco fields, you know, flat, and a lot of stone walls around the farms. It was very pretty, rural and ethnic.
Okay, let's talk about ethnic. I mean, your name is Italian.
Italian.
Okay, a lot of Italians moved there. Okay.
Lots of people live there. I think, you have a lot of Italian communities, Polish communities, Puerto Rican communities, Black communities, you know, they were really all around. Maybe because of the proximity to New York, I don't know.
Now, how far is Berlin from New York?
Everything's so close. But, you know, you could take the train into the city real easy. You could drive.
Did you go to New York City much growing up?
Well, not much. But when I did go, I took the train.
Okay.
And, you know, as the school groups, you'd go into the city to see the Statue of Liberty and, you know, the museums.
Cool.
It was very cool. And
So tell me about Berlin.
Berlin.
Large?
It's little. A little town. Lots of little towns close to each other.
How little is Berlin?
Oh, boy.
Little is Berlin in little
like
Connecticut?
Like Sandpoint Ways. it's hard to say. They kind of all they mush into each other. These little
like
towns,
Dover and Sandpoint.
Yes, exactly. Berlin, East Berlin, Kensington.
There's an East Berlin.
There's an East Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Go away.
Like Dover, like little. Yeah. Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. East Berlin, and Kensington, New Britain.
Okay.
You know, Berlin itself has a historical, you know, district where. you know, 1700s, 1800 placards on houses. Our library was very small, old, smelled good, like old books and stone.
Why is Berlin where it is? I mean, is it a manufacturing town? Is it a granary center? Is it
Brickyards?
Brickyards.
Lots of brickyards. Connecticut has a lot of water.
I was going to say, any water through Berlin?
Yeah, there's a lot of water. In Berlin, yes, but even in Connecticut, when you zone in the little state, there's a lot of little ponds, they call them ponds. Like,
would they freeze over in the winter?
Oh, yeah, the great skating.
Okay.
Yeah, great skating for sure. That was a big deal as, you know, little growing up. We would skate a lot.
Well, I would imagine looking at Connecticut, Joy, that Connecticut along the ocean is one thing, but the other parts of Connecticut, are they similar or dissimilar? I mean, as a child growing up, did you travel around and look at the different parts of Connecticut?
Yeah. Well, we didn't travel much because we didn't have a lot of money.
Okay.
Mom was a single mom with us, so we did a lot of things with family.
Ah.
And so we did travel that way, and we went to, we'd go to the beach. A lot of times on Sunday.
Nice beach?
Nice beach. It was on the Sound.
Okay.
You know, we'd go to the beach. You would do that, you know, as a, you know, that type of thing. Because, you know, she could afford that. And we'd go clamming, and my uncles would clam. And yeah,
seafood,
it was great.
Seafood.
That seafood, a lot of seafood. And then we had, well, another uncle ran a Boy Scout camp, which was down closer to Rhode Island. You know, down in there by Norwich and in that area, and spent a lot of summers at the Boy Scout camp, and you know, on the water, and then in the winter the lake would freeze over, and we'd skate there too, and so a lot of traveling that way.
Is the state is there any rural part of the state at all, or is it pretty much
a
city?
No, it's not. And that's a surprising thing, especially now living here for as long as I have and growing up there. I couldn't get away from the East fast enough because of the city, but it really is very rural. A lot of farms, a lot of, it's getting swallowed up by suburbia for sure. But was that your question?
That was my question.
Okay.
Is it rural?
It's very rural. And it still is. You go back now and a lot of curvy country roads and they're all paved.
Yeah.
You know, which is funny. Like here, our back roads are dirt.
Yes.
And perhaps because it's so old. But you can get out of the town, out of the city quickly. Yeah. And then it's country. It's rolling hills and hiking and wildlife and lovely.
What are the seasons like in
they're beautiful.
In Connecticut?
They're very, you get
through,
all four.
Take me through spring through winter.
Okay. We'll start in spring.
Whatever. What's your favorite season?
Oh boy, I love them all in so many different ways. But we'll start with winter.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, winters are they're snowy. They used to be a lot more snowier, and a lot of shoveling. It's wet snow and a lot of sliding.
Heavy snow.
Yes, and a lot of shoveling. A lot of sliding, going skating when you can. It was lovely. And let's see, winter. Spring was like here. Beautiful.
Did it last long? I mean, sometimes I find here that spring is just before I know it, it's summer.
Because we wait so long. I think the winters aren't as long there as they are here, it seems to me. Maybe it was because I was younger. I don't know.
Did the ocean impact winters? I mean, make it more snowy or?
Probably less. Because we're kind of on that side of the Appalachians. No, lake effect snow would happen more, you know, coming down from upstate New York or across the Great Lakes. But, you know,
I was just playing around on the computer here doing some math. It's the state compares to the Idaho Panhandle in size, basically.
Is that right?
It's very, very close. Yeah, huh. I mean, or from the border down to I think let's say Coeur d'Alene or so is about, if you turn the state sideways.
Now that I'm looking at the map here in the studio,
you can get for our local listeners.
Yeah. You could travel to the ocean and back in a, you know, easy, yeah, you know, group of kids, all of us, you know, teenagers, we'd go to the ocean. And if you wanted big waves, you can go closer to this, you know, Rhode Island way, yeah, instead of in by the Sound. And then you could still be home.
Can you use the word sound several times?
Yes.
Can you talk about what is the Sound?
Well, see, well, if you look on the map,
mm-hmm,
you got, you know, the tip of New York mm-hmm City,
right,
and the little panhandle of Connecticut touch. And then there's a spit of land. It's Long Island. I mean, it's the Sound there.
Long Island Sound.
I think it's the Long Island Sound. Yeah, so yeah, the Connecticut coast actually is in that protected area of the Sound, you know?
Would there be ferries going back and forth?
There's block islands. There's some islands, okay, that you could go to that are in there. But you didn't see that when I was young and at the ocean there. It was like a milder ocean. You know, it would be ocean, but you wouldn't get those big waves that you could get if you went more out to the Atlantic, like where Rhode Island hits and that type of thing.
So you're across the Sound from Long Island, but
right,
it's a big... It's
big piece of
big
water.
Big body
there
of water, too big to see across. I don't know.
Yes, can you see? Can't. Yeah, no, you couldn't
see
across
the other side.
Uh-uh,
yeah,
no.
I do think of Connecticut mainly. I think as a seaside state.
A seaside place. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's beautiful. That's yeah for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, the Navy bases there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really beautiful along that coast. Going back now. As a, you know, as an adult or earlier on, and
it's pretty developed. And in terms of houses and estates along the ocean,
well, it's old, so there's old estates and old areas. Mm-hmm. They seem to still have big parks where people could still come with their motor homes and stay there all summer. You know, and that element of the quaintness that of Connecticut is still there.
Yeah.
But for sure, you know, it gets gobbled up.
Yeah. Does it feel, for lack of a better word, does it feel old? Does it feel, I mean, a lot of the buildings in the towns are still kind of preserved, are they not? I mean, in the way that they were, it hasn't been overrun.
It's different in that, you know, you have, when you're in the cities, like the older part of the cities, you'll have a lot of those 3-story homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's still there. They're old. If they get so, you know, dilapidated, then, you know, they'll build something else. But you could still feel the oldness throughout the state, I feel. You know, in a lot of areas, there's, you know, old stone buildings or, you know, older wooden homes and farms and stone walls,
yeah,
because, you know, they're having to clear the fields for farming. So I think the element of the age of how long people have been there is very much there still.
And how about your family? How long have they been there?
Well, I have, I came from, my mom was from a family of 10, so it was big.
Whoa.
Big, yeah, and they were all there in the state. Now since, you know, people are passing away, but so a lot of them are still very much there, and family is rooted there. You know, personally, I myself, you know, once I hit college age, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. But you know,
lots
not
of
because
country
of
to
the,
discover.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it was, too, for sure.
Do you get back to visit?
Not very often.
Okay.
Not very often. I going to see my mother mostly, you know, and then once she passed, it was, you know, different. And then mom retired and went south.
Oh,
and,
so she
so
relocated.
She left. She relocated.
Relocated.
Sure. But my sister and my brother-in-law and my family is still very much there in Connecticut.
I'd be sort of curious, you know, you might not be going back that often, but when you did go back.
Which was just a couple of years, well, 2 years ago.
Okay,
now.
What did you notice that had changed or that jogged your memory and go, oh, I forgot, you know, that sort of thing? Was the house smaller than you imagined it to be, you know, that sort of thing?
You know, what I forgot was the smell.
Ooh,
the smell of the forest, the smell of the air there.
A dampness?
Well, there's so much more deciduous. There's maples and oaks. all around.
So imagine it smells, in fall it comes alive.
Yes, and even in the summer. But the outdoor air smelled different than I had forgotten, and I remembered that.
So how far was Berlin from the ocean?
It's right in the center. We drove, and we got lost, and it was still maybe an hour,
I was wondering, you get like an ocean smell?
No.
Okay, you're too far inland.
Too far inland, yeah.
Wow, that's interesting that a smell would be, boom.
For me, it was the trees, really. The smell and the maples. And
I read somewhere that the olfactory sense, the smell, is the one that triggers memories the most vividly and the most, and the look on your face, Joy, you know, that I imagine a hit of Connecticut forest, you know, and she's transported.
Well, we won't talk about the smell of this pavement in the city, but
let's see. I have a question that I know you're not a historian, but you might have learned this in school, and I certainly didn't. Why is Connecticut and Delaware, and Massachusetts for that matter, why are these all separate states? Why is Connecticut its own state and not, and separated from those other ones?
Well, I don't know what made the states draw their boundaries where they did. You know, I always thought it was because it was kind of the heart of our country there when they all got together and were figuring out what we were going to do about living in this country. I really don't know.
This is Julie here sitting in with my good girlfriend, Joy Riccio, and these guys.
This is Julie from Nebraska.
That's right.
Yes.
Nebraska.
Hi, Julie. Merry Christmas.
That's tomorrow, Jack.
Okay, you're right. Merry Christmas Eve.
I believe the different states were different religious groups. I believe they divided among between the religious sects, the pilgrims and the different groups that
splinter groups,
as is so common. They had to divide themselves.
You know, I mean, but I think Jack's question is interesting in terms of coming from Nebraska, which is huge, and you could take a dozen plus Connecticuts and hide them in Nebraska, that we're used to expansiveness in some respects, whereas Joy is compact.
That's right. That's
when you look at that at a map. And so what Jack is looking at is a part of the United States where, do people in Massachusetts tell jokes about people in Connecticut?
Oh, yes.
People in Connecticut tell jokes about Rhode Island.
And then they all talk different, too. Have you noticed that? Like Connecticut will talk different than Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and New Hampshire, Maine. We all have our different little accent. Uh-huh. And then they're extreme, New York. And that's quite interesting. They're so little, jam-packed, concentrated.
Yep, and unique.
Character.
But each one is unique.
They are.
You figure like Nebraska, where Julie's from, would have lots of room that would make it different from Kansas or eastern Colorado or that part or South Dakota, whereas you guys are just compact together and yet have retained, let's say, speech patterns and identities apart from one another. I find that fascinating.
And the other thing, Joy, I'd like you to speak about is your family home, the way your relatives and how you shared that home.
We had a my grandmother and grandfather, Mama and Papa, had a three-family home. It was a three-story home. Hmm. And that's where they all lived. And then after the grandparents died, the aunts and uncles or such, took over, certain floors. And that home stayed with the family. And my mother probably, because daddy wasn't around, relied a lot on her brothers and the family.
Well, said there were 10 siblings.
10 siblings, yes.
Whoa.
So it was, and they all... they might have even built the house. That I'm not sure of, but it stayed in the family, and as the family changed in age, so did that, and it kind of became always was the family home.
Is it still there?
It's still there. Hmm. And it's still in the family, actually.
So 2 years ago you saw it?
Yes.
And how did it look to you?
It, the same, it except the same? Field seems smaller.
Ah.
And, you know, all that, the big field on the side of the house and the pond, everything seemed a lot littler. And the hill that I climbed on was lower. Mm. But, yeah, it was lovely.
How many people living in this three-story home at once?
Well, gosh, there was a time when it was all of them as children, and then I had my Uncle Eddie was on the top floor, and he had his children there. Mary and Uncle Eddie and the kids were upstairs. Aunt Tolo and Uncle Bill, they were on the bottom floor. And then Mom and I and Carol and Marianne, we were on the middle floor for a while. And then we left, and then we ended up, Uncle Eddie moved to the second floor. And so the house stayed in the family and changed a bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that.
Yeah.
Those were her male influences, her uncles.
They really were. And, you know, and back to the whole thing of traveling and no money, we would go, my family being so big, they got together, all the adults and all the kids would come, and they would sing. It was always music being played.
Whoa.
And it was like either pianos. At the Boy Scout camp, there was pianos. Okay. So, and that became a place that we would go to a lot. And the piano was there, and the guitars would come out, and the drinks would flow, and the banjos, and the adults would sing and play, and the children would, you know, we grew up with that.
So when you get together, like you did a couple years ago, does one person start humming something, and then another person, and before you know it, you've got four-part harmony, and...
I wish that kind of, when my mom's relatives, when her sisters and brothers started to pass, that left too. But Mom and I still sang quite a bit. When it was a big part of us when we got together.
And she moved down to Florida? Or?
She moved to Florida, in her later years. She went down there. And
I think I would be remiss...
Yes.
If I did not mention, you know, just like we will do in the weeks ahead with Julie in Nebraska, being remiss if we didn't mention University of Nebraska's women volleyball team.
Rock on.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention UConn.
UConn girls.
Yes, rocking too.
Rock on. Yes, big. Very, very awesome.
And
Stores.
Yep, Stores and a fine tradition, and it's almost the epicenter of women's college-level basketball.
The UConn, for sure.
Put certainly Connecticut on a map in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
do you still follow them out here?
I follow them out here. My family back east, Marianne and Amy, my sister, they follow, they're avid. My brother-in-law, they follow them all the time.
Okay, well, that's another thing to remember. Joy, is there anything that we haven't talked about in terms of Connecticut that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Boy, we talked about a lot.
Yes, we did. How about food?
Great food.
Okay.
You know, and I think because it was, it's all these Italian, I was in an Italian area, Italian, Polish people. Mm-hmm. So we had great bakeries.
Oh.
Good, real good bakeries, good seafood.
Okay, can imagine
great apple orchards. A lot of apple orchards where I was.
What kind of apples? I mean,
Cortland's.
Okay,
Macintosh.
Okay,
that are two that I remember.
Good eating apples.
Good eating.
Absolutely.
And again, the climate is very similar to us.
I've been asking people: is it humid there?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yes, you would go in the summer. Oh, humidity was bad. Your hair would curl.
Okay. Did your hair curl in Nebraska with the humidity?
Yes, it did. Got shorter every summer.
You didn't need a permanent.
No.
Joy Oricio, we want to thank you so much for being Connecticut's representative. It's good. Jack and I have enjoyed it. Julie, thank you for joining.
My pleasure.
And Julie will be down the road with Nebraska since we're doing this alphabetically. Joy, thank you so much, and have a wonderful Christmas tomorrow.
Thank you. I will, and thank you for inviting me.